Peanut Louie is with us on Sports Byline. We're talking tennis this hour, as she was an outstanding junior tennis player, also turned professional when she played in the U.S. Open. And over a 19-year career, she won 4 singles championships. And before the break, I alluded to the fact that she has co-authored, along with Coach John Wooden, a book called Inch and Miles, The Journey to Success. Tell me a little bit about how you met John Wooden.
Well, it was through a friend of mine who I've known from the San Francisco Tennis Club since I was a teenager, Steve Jamison. And he co-wrote this first book that he did with Coach Wooden called Wooden. It's called The Little Blue Book. And I read it, and I just, like, fell in love with the philosophy. And I had never, embarrassingly to say, I had never heard of Coach Wooden. But everything he said in the book, I just, like, oh, my gosh, you know, this is just great information that, you know, I want to use with my kids. And, you know, it's just great old-fashioned values and just his definition of success. I mean, I just fell in love with that. You know, it's just about measuring your success based on your effort, and really you can't do any more than trying your best. And I bugged Steve for about a month, I think, about you and Coach have got to put this information from Wooden in a book for parents and kids. And it wasn't even like talking about a children's book at the time or anything. It was just like, please, Steve, you know, I want to use this. And you know, I think at the same time, Coach Wooden's granddaughter, who's a teacher, was bugging him on that end about doing a children's book. And Steve, you know, in time just checked with Coach Wooden to see if he was even interested. And he said, yes. And Steve said, you know, would you like to help, you know, kick around story ideas and kind of be a parent feedback? And I just said, I would love to. And this was back in 2001 when we started. And the book came out in 2003. So it was kind of a long process, but just the best experience.
Do you remember the first time you met him?
Yes. You know, you're always a little nervous. And, you know, Steve had said, you've got to go down to Southern Cal and meet Coach Wooden. And, you know, by that time, you know, we just totally, you know, had Coach up on this big pedestal. And you're always worried, like, when you meet, you know, these celebrities or famous people that, oh, gosh, you know, I hope they're nice. And he was just nicer. I mean, he was just the nicest, kindest man you could ever meet. And, you know, we went to visit him in his home. And it's just, you know, it's very modest, and, you know, he couldn't have been more welcoming. And, you know, the time that you spend with him, and, you know, you read this all the time about people who spend time with him, it is, he makes you just feel so welcome, so special, and just what a great role model he is.
I want to ask you a question. As a highly skilled athlete, albeit in the sport of tennis, but what is it that made him so universally successful? And I'm going to use the word smart, and whether it be basketball, the things that he talked about that he has written in his books that you put into this book applies across mankind almost in a sense. What was it about his philosophy that appealed to everything?
I think it's because, like, for me personally, his philosophy, it just gives you a feeling like there's hope. There's still hope in good old-fashioned values. There's still hope in just keeping life simple. And, you know, I think anyone that, everything you read about him or anyone who's met him, I think he is everything that he teaches. You know, it's not like he's telling people to be humble, be gracious, be appreciative, and then he's this other kind of person. He's that person. You know, so when you get to spend any time with him or just read anything, and you just become a bigger and bigger fan. And I think that's what makes him really special. I mean, there's a lot of great people out there with great words of wisdom, but I just think it's who he is as a person that is the magic. And, you know, I remember Steve Jamison, telling me, he says, Coach says, it's not that he feels he created this magic dust or anything. It's just words of wisdoms and life lessons that he's learned from his dad and these other top, you know, his favorite teachers or coaches that have impacted his life. And he's just passing it down to the next generation of kids that he can.
I don't know whether you know this or not, but he's been inducted into the Hall of Fame twice, once as a player and once as a coach as well. And I got to know him when I was a young sportscaster. And there were two things about him I was struck by. One is his consistency. It didn't matter who he was talking to. His words were something that applied to everybody at every age. I mean, it was basic. And the thing that I felt was his greatest strength was his motivation to people about self-esteem, that really your success comes from within yourself. Because I got to tell you, When I was broadcasting games on television and UCLA was playing, and say it was against the University of Washington, our broadcast position might be close to the huddle during a timeout. He could look you in the eye, and he could say one or two words, or he could just go right through you with his eyes. I mean, he was a taskmaster. And I've talked to Bill Walton, and I've talked to other players that played for him, and they talk about that. But there was a love about him, and it was the fact that they always said to me, Peanut, that he drove us to be the best that we could be, better than we even knew we could be ourselves. And I think that was what I found made him so special. Would you agree with that statement?
You know, Steve, you know, tells me again, he's like, Coach was one of the most competitive people
yep.
he's ever met. And you read about, you know, in articles of his former players, and we know Mike Warren, and, you know, he has some good stories, too. And there seems to be this nice sense of humor of coaches that made him special, too. I mean, some pretty candid things his players will say. And, you know, I think he just had such a great relationship with his players, and just, I think, the trust and the respect both ways. And that he was consistent, like you said, and he didn't treat his star player any different from his, you know, the rest of the team. And I think everybody, you know, just respected just that consistency.
And he was interesting, too, because when he was coaching down at UCLA during that great string of victories, I mean, that was a very turbulent time in our country. We had riots down in Los Angeles as well, and kids were changing, and there was a lot of influences. I'll never forget when I covered one of the Final Fours that UCLA was in during that run, and they won the championship that year. I ran into him after a semifinal game in the hallway. He had the stat sheet in his hand. And I said to him, and I was a young sportscaster and a little intimidated as well, meeting Coach Wooden, and I thought, well, I'm going to go up and ask him the question anyway. So I said, well, Coach, what jumps out at you off the stat sheet? And he paused, and he looked at it, and he looked at me, and he said, you know, turnovers in basketball are like walks in baseball. They'll kill you every time.
Oh, yes. I mean, and it's true. It's odd to think that, you know, he didn't even look at what team they were playing. I mean, for a coach, right? I mean, that's part of, like, you study your opponents and, you know, any kind of strategy-wise. But it's just like, wow, that's pretty good control.
Let me switch gears on you and go back to tennis with the time that we have remaining here. When you look at the tennis scene today, particularly on the women's side, what is it that you see that you like and what is it that you're concerned about?
You know, I'm a big fan of, you know, athletes like Kim Clijsters or Roger Federer or, you know, Rafa Nadal, where you get to see what a class act, what a champions they are on and off the court. You know, so for me, I mean, those are great role models of our game. And, you know, just how gracious they are, whether they win or they lose. So I'm a big fan of those players. You know, it's in the women's game, there seems to be a big turnover now, like who's, you know, the top player and everything. And the men's, it's just exciting to see those top four players, you know, from different countries. And just how they handle themselves on and off the court, too, and just say gracious things about their opponent, whether they win or lose. But it's a pretty exciting time for, you know, like the Bank of the West is end of July. And, you know, they have Serena Williams coming out.
Let me ask you a question, because Serena and Venus Williams both have been criticized for having interest off the court, being, you know, looking at things beyond just tennis. I would think, because of your background, you probably admire that, because it made him a well-rounded person. And yet I've never felt that criticism was justified. I think that because of the demands and the pressure that is on a highly skilled professional athlete, the expectations that you need to have an outlet outside of the sport that you're playing in order to maintain your sanity.
Yeah, I think, I mean, their outside interest is probably part of why they're still able to perform at such a high level. And it doesn't seem to bother them if their rankings drop, because, you know, I think they could be fine without tennis if, you know, that day comes. And yeah, I mean, it's rare that you find a professional athlete that can, you know, have outside interests. And I mean, you're so used to being so single-minded and so focused that, I mean, that's a great skill that they have, that they can enjoy other parts of their lives. And I mean, that's great.
What has happened to American tennis, both on the men's as well as the women's side? Because we don't see the Martina Navratilovas. We don't see any of the other big names that we've had in the past. It just is not there. I don't know whether it's because the rest of the world is caught up to the way we play tennis, or it's just a cyclical change.
You know, I think part of it, and USTA is trying, you know, they're really trying to grow the game and get a lot of kids in the 10 and under with their quick start format playing the game and just playing and trying and enjoying it for fun. So I think that's a great direction that they're headed. You know, I think, you know, just the players from other countries, they're just hungrier. You know, I think, you know, our opportunities here are so many choices. Kids here just can have a variety of everything. So they dabble in a lot of things versus, I think, players from the other countries. The work ethic is just there. You know, they know that this is a big opportunity for them to be able to do something really special. So I think they kind of appreciate a little bit more.
How hard is it for kids today to be so single-minded to just play tennis and be that focused? I can't see it happening. There's too many things that are after their attention.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, just being a parent myself, you know, there was a lot of sacrifice, you know, I know from my parents when we played, but I know now because both parents work, you know, there's this whole, you know, juggling of schedules, who's going to pick up who. You hope that your kids can get a ride from someone and you give rides too. So it's just a lot busier for parents. So I think a lot of it is the kids end up in activities or sports that's convenient to their parents versus, you know, doing whatever to give your kids those opportunities. So life is a little different, and I think a lot of it depends on if it's convenient to the parent, unfortunately.
What did you get out of the game of tennis, professionally especially, that still stays with you today, Peanut?
You know, I think I really appreciate that I was able to, you know, do that for a good majority of my life. I still enjoy playing tennis today just as something fun to do, a nice break from, you know, the work day. And, you know, it does, you know, talking about Coach Wooden's pyramid of success and all those character traits on it, I can look at it and just say, you know what, I got every one of those from tennis. You know, and I know you can get that from, you know, any sport. But for me, I was just like, you know what, I'm so grateful to my parents, you know, especially my mom, for giving us that opportunity. And, you know, I hope that this is something that we can pass down to our kids too, and, you know, and find a sport that you love, because it just naturally, you know, helps you develop all those skills.
And when you think back on it all, was it worth it?
Definitely. I mean, it's, as a parent, I don't know if I had the dedication and commitment to get my, you know, my child play tennis every day, 7 days a week, you know, for I don't know how many years. But I'm glad that I did it. And, you know, just, I know, I just am always amazed that my mom did this with five kids.
Yeah. Is there a particular moment in your career that's kind of emblazoned in your mind? I always love to ask athletes that, because invariably I get surprising answers, not the ones that I would expect or maybe the listeners or fans would expect to hear, because there's different things that mean different things to athletes. Is there a moment?
You know, my daughter was just asking me that yesterday, like, what was my favorite tournament? She goes, oh, it must have been Wimbledon. And I said, well, actually, I mean, Wimbledon was one of my favorites because I just love the tradition of it and just what a special tournament that is. But one of my favorite tournaments was one that I would play before the U.S. Open. It was in Mahwah, New Jersey. And it was because I stayed with this family that, you know, was just so special to me, and, you know, we're still in touch. So just as an experience-wise, that was one of my most memorable or things that I really remember and appreciate was, you know, having this friendship with this great family back in Mahwah, New Jersey.
We only got about 30 seconds left, but when you think back upon it all, is there anything you would have changed?
I think I kid about this, but I said, maybe I should have taken a Sunday off every now and then. But I didn't know that it just wasn't part of our schedule. But I think that would have been okay if I took a Sunday off every now and then.
Do you play tennis with your husband?
Yes, once in a while, his poor hips, you know, are hard. But, you know, he teaches down at San Francisco Tennis
okay.
Club, so every now and then for fun.
Boy, I tell you what, husband and wife's playing the same sport, that could be a little bit on the dicey side. I want to thank you. I've known you for a very long time, and just to hear the history, because you and Marcy were pioneers. I mean, Asian-American athletes and professional tennis players. Thank you very, very much for spending an hour with us.
Thank you,
here
Ron.
On Sports
Great to
Byline.
See you.
Peanut Louie, and again, the name of the book is called Inches or Inch and Miles, The Journey to Success by Coach John Wooden, along with Steve Jamison and also Peanut Louie Harper. I hope you'll check it out. We continue on Sports Byline.